DazzleMe.com. Make DazzleMe.com your daily destination to grow your own collection. DazzleMe.com.
Presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent. Streaming live at KTSMradio.com. Brought to you by EPHistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block off East Cotton, open 7 days a week. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, you know what? It must be Saturday. There you sit. There I sit. How'd you get to Saturday?
I don't know.
You
I
had it. You had, you guys burn your candles at both ends too much.
I burn it to the very end this week, I'll tell you.
So up, you're here, you made it to the station on the right time. Right
I literally burnt the candle.
But you do have the El Paso History Radio Show on hand here.
Yes,
and that's
we do.
Who we are. Melissa Sargent, good morning. And also,
morning.
Real quick to let you know, fall back.
Fall back.
Spring ahead, fall back. That's the clock thing tonight.
Yes.
Get that figured out. So we got
an extra hour tomorrow.
Oh yeah, huh? You ready for that? But you know, it's a KTSM AM 690 is where they can always find us, and we're the folks that say Texas history begins in El Paso, and the main reason is because it does.
It does.
And other than that, there's no reason to get excited, except they can find us elsewhere besides that 690.
Yes, they can. They can go to KTSMradio.com, where they can click on the link and get the iHeartRadio connection, where you can listen to us all around the world.
And are you going to have our trivia question today?
Yes, I am. We're going to have 2 hours of trivia. The first hour we're going to have, you have a choice of getting the first correct caller with, or Chris, shows you where I'm at. You could have a chance at those two questions, and the first correct caller gets a choice of a Pepe's New Mexican food coupon, or a $20 coupon for our wonderful other sponsor, which is Mission Del Rey Southwest. And also the second hour, we'll have Amigos, which is on 2000 Montana, which is a block south, east.
It's near Montana.
It's somewhere east of Cotton Street.
Cotton.
And also another coupon for Mission Del Rey Southwest. And well, that'll be both hours. And here's your script back.
And thank you very much. And what we got to do now is ask you about the history moment.
The history, oh, that's going to be a good one. It's a person, this gentleman was incredible. He was a U.S. Legislator, and he went from a cattle ranch, a cattle camp, cook to a U.S. legislator. I'll tell you, the good old days.
They were shoveling the same thing in both places.
Yeah,
how about that for a thought?
He was such a bad cook, they had to throw him off into being a cattleman.
I'm going to go to Pepe's. I don't know about you what you got to do. You probably go home and take a nap.
I wish. Yeah, well, we're going out to Concordia later tonight for Dia de los Muertos.
It's a biggie tonight at Concordia. We'll talk more about those details.
You may find me laying on a grave dead.
Well, you'd be in the right place at the wrong time, maybe.
Yeah, what's that body? That's Melissa.
Let's talk about some history here in El Paso, because we do have a lot. And we have a guy who's calling in by phone today, and he is former Mayor Ray Caballero, and we should say hello to Ray. How in the world are you?
Pretty good, Jackson. How are you doing?
We're surviving nicely. We got our phones figured out here, it sounds like. And as we move on, you're calling in from Oregon. Was that where you were?
Yes, sir.
Oh,
yes,
sir. Nice place.
And so you managed to get to Oregon, and what you did when you got to Oregon, apparently you wrote a book about El Paso.
Well, I did. I wrote a book about the most important case in El Paso's legal history, the case against Clinton Jenks back in the 1950s.
Called McCarthyism versus Clinton Jenks. Is that the name of the book?
Yes, McCarthyism versus Clinton Jenks, and it makes a great Christmas gift.
Okay. At Barnes & Noble or where?
Any bookstore can order it for you. They might even have some on hand at Barnes & Noble's or at UTEP bookstore.
Fair enough.
Now you can order it online from any bookstore.
Now let's talk about what's in this thing, because the book explains the historical significance of the trial and of things that went on there. You got your phone? Is your phone okay?
Yes.
Okay.
My phone is working fine, but. Yeah, it's really quite an interesting story. There really, in that book are five stories. Really, the story in general of the Red Scare of the 1950s, the era, the McCarthy era, was within that. And then the second story would be a famous strike that took place in the Silver City area there in Grant County called the Empire Zinc Strike. And Clinton Jenks was a labor organizer for the Mine Mill and Smelter Workers Union. And he led that very controversial strike, lasted about 15 months, and became famous when 8 months into that strike, the women took over the picket line. They voted, and they just took over. The men had been enjoined from blocking the mine entrance, so the women said, well, that little court order doesn't apply to us. So the wives and mothers of strikers took over the picket line, and that became very famous. And then Clinton Jenks put, back in those days, a lot of left-wing Hollywood filmmakers had been run out of Hollywood, even though they committed no crime, and because the Red Scare really started in Hollywood. And those folks were out of work, and they found out about this strike, and they decided they were going to make a very low-budget movie out of it. And they did. That movie's called Salt of the Earth.
That was a big deal at the time, wasn't it?
Oh, my gosh, I've seen that movie. I didn't even put the two and two together.
And that's, of course, Melissa Sargent. You know who she is. She's our co-host here. And but just to let you know, people, the Jinx is J-E-N-C-K-S. And it's Clinton Jinx. That's a guy's name, right?
Yes.
It's not just that he was a Jinx. That's a different matter. Different thing.
That's a different kind of Jinx, yeah.
But let's talk about also a couple of... Go ahead.
J-E-N-C-K-S, right.
Okay.
And so anyway, he and the rest of the miners played themselves in that film. And that film also became controversial because it was seen as a piece of Soviet propaganda on the part of a national anti-communist movement. And so within weeks after the filming ended there in Grant County, Jenks was indicted for falsely denying that he was a communist. And that indictment was brought out in El Paso. And the reason El Paso came into the picture was because every union official had to file annually an affidavit saying they were not communists before the National Labor Relations Board. And the nearest NLRB office was in El Paso. That's what brought El Paso into the picture. So the case was tried in Judge Thomason's court.
Well, Jenks signed a non-communist affidavit, right? Is that what got him into so much trouble?
Yes, that's exactly what got him into trouble. And it turns out he said he told people that he had resigned from the party before he filed the oath. And only by looking at thousands of pages of FBI records, we now know that Jenks was innocent of any crime because he had indeed resigned from the Communist Party before he filed the oath. The FBI and the Department of Justice withheld those facts. Back in those days, there was not the Freedom of Information Act. And we didn't find this out. It didn't come out in the records until the late 90s. And this book brings it out for the first time that he was, in fact, innocent. The government knew they were prosecuting an innocent man.
They withheld the evidence.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did. First of all, they withheld witness statements that would have exonerated him. That's the importance of the Jenks Supreme Court decision. It held that if somebody gave a statement to the FBI or some other agency and it related to the testimony they gave at trial, they had to give you those statements. Well, that was the importance of the Jenks decision. Before Jenks, they didn't give you those statements. So they were able to withhold those statements, but they didn't retry Jenks, so that's why he never came out. He never found that out. He died thinking that he had never been exonerated. And that really is a travesty on the part of the government for them to fail to reveal that they were prosecuting an innocent man. But that is emblematic, Jackson, and of the era where the government, that's why the term McCarthyism is a pejorative.
It's a bad thing. Yeah. Well, to connect this to El Paso is because of that labor office here, but also the trial came to El Paso. and it was tried by Judge Ari Thomason, correct?
Yes, it was. In fact, in his book, he considers it and Billy Saul Estes as the most important cases to hit his court.
Well, let's restate again. To me, this is what hit me. That basically, this trial brought out the fact that defendants were not given the evidence that the prosecution had until the trial. And even then, they only heard it first time when it became testimony. That's wrong.
No. Well, it's not. It was even worse than that, because at trial they withheld the statements that the witnesses had given, and the main two witnesses against him perjured themselves. Now, a few months after the trial, it was only the Supreme Court decision that brought out, that's in 1957, that Jenks, that there was error. They gave him a new trial saying it was error to refuse to give him the witness statements. But that case really is the most important case, giving defendants the right to see the evidence against them. And it's just as startling. Today we take it so much for granted.
Yeah, yeah.
You get to see those statements, and back then you did not.
That's an amazing fact that it came out in this trial. Melissa?
When was the Freedom of Information Act enacted? Do you
1965,
know?
I believe, 65. During the Lyndon Johnson era, 1965. But just because the Freedom of Information Act is there doesn't mean you're going to get the records. There was a historian who litigated for years, had to bring suits trying to get the Jenks files. She didn't get them until the late 1990s. I made my own request, and I got a bunch of records. But in time, they just kept releasing more and more of the records. And at first, they just almost be completely blank. They would be redacted completely.
Yeah.
Now you can get to see just about all the records. And that's a really startling finding that was made in this book, that the Jenks was innocent. He never went to another meeting of the Communist Party after he quit in 1949. The trial wasn't until 1954, and he quit in October of 49, and they knew that. And so then this guy Matuso, who was one of the main witnesses against him, very interesting guy, he was hired by the FBI, the Department of Justice. He used to go all around the country testifying in these communist cases, deportation cases, criminal cases, congressional investigations. He came out a few months after Jenks was convicted and said that all those things he'd said about folks being communists were lies.
No.
He fabricated that whole thing, and he became a huge scandal for the Department of Justice and the FBI. And as a result of what happened in Matuso, the government stopped using these paid professional anti-communist witnesses. And so El Paso was really playing an important role in all of these matters.
It's amazing. Okay, we are talking with former Mayor Ray Caballero, who has decided his second career is as an author. Is that about right? I mean, this is not your first book either.
No, it's my second book, actually.
Well, and you probably you have a third one cooking, I'm just guessing, no?
Well, I don't know, you know? When you're 77, you're in the zone, you understand?
Well, do what you can. But we should just let people know that your first book was on Orozco, was it not?
Pascual Orozco. It, too, makes a great Christmas gift.
There you go.
There you go. Hey.
We're talking Barnes & Noble again, or Amazon, or wherever you can find a book.
Yeah, yes.
Okay, but since you're calling in today, you're not going to make it to Pepe's this afternoon, are you?
No, I'm not.
We can catch a plane and get down here.
The other thing is, what we need to do, in that case, we will pick a Pepe's special. We need to take a break here, Ray. So hold on a minute. You should be able to hear the show on hold. But we're going to take a break and go to the menu here. And then trivia. But Melissa, do you have a favorite you want to put on here? Because I got to tell you, the red chili meat enchiladas.
Yeah, I was just going to say
the meat enchiladas are just underserved. They need to be picked up and talked about. So today, the special at Pepe's is the red chili meat enchiladas.
This is a good weather for that.
Oh yeah, it is. And Ray, if you can make it, I'll buy you one. But in case in case you don't, I'm going to eat them for you.
I'm just really hungry just listening.
Oh, and they ship those now, so you can get those shipped to you.
Thanks a lot, Jackson. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, but see, they will freeze them up and ship them to your address by FedEx.
Oh.
Yeah, there's always an option to call Pepe
up. We've had friends that have had them shipped, and they still are just as good.
It's a good idea. All right, Ray, I'll put you on hold. Don't go away. And, of course, if I manage to mangle the phones, call us back. But hold on here. We'll talk to you again in a minute.
Okay.
But in the meantime, we got to talk also about a number of things going on in the trivia.
That's right.
Are you ready for trivia?
Yes, I am.
What do you got?
Okay, well, our first question for this trivia contest is... Who was the judge to preside over the Clinton Jenks trial?
We just talked about it. How hard is that?
That's right. And the second one was, what affidavit did Clinton Jenks sign that got him in so much trouble?
Oh, dear. He signed something.
Yes.
They caught him, whatever.
Yeah, well, no.
But, you know, this is an interesting book. It's an interesting trial because of the major precedent that they uncovered. Like, oh, you're going to give the defendant what the defense and the prosecution already has so they can both work on the same page?
Yes.
What a concept.
And it's an important thing. Always have an attorney when you're talking to the FBI.
Well, not only that, this is only one point of about 5 points this book's make. We'll get some more of those in a minute.
It's going to be an interesting conversation we're going to have. So, again, who was the judge who presided over Clinton Jenks' trial, and what was the affidavit did Clinton Jenks sign that got him in trouble?
You can get what?
$20 in food at Pepe's restaurant in Canutillo. Or a $20 gift certificate to Mission Del Rey Southwest for wonderful, you know, gifts and items for Christmas.
Well, and the thing about it, we just picked the red chili meat enchiladas at Pepe's, and what that means is it's $6 today. Normally, it's a bunch more than that, but you get it cheaper today. It's called the Oñate Special.
That's right. It's worth
and
every penny.
And why does it call we call it the Oñate Special?
Because it's on the Camino Real.
Exactly. I mean, that's physical space right through the doorway of where Pepe's is between his two sides. I think Oñate, he would have hit his head.
And you might see him there today.
He might show up. But if he was on a horse, he'd have hit his head.
Yeah,
I know that.
That's right.
All right, enough of that. Call us up and win the prizes here.
That's right. Call 544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
The unemployment rate is lower than it's been in decades. That means if you're trying to hire a new employee, they probably already have a job, which means you need to try reaching them in a different way. That's where iHeartMedia comes in. Every week, our radio stations reach 93% of the U.S., most likely when they're on their commute or already at work. So start connecting with the qualified candidates you've been looking for on AM/FM radio. Visit iHeartWorks.com. That's iHeartWorks.com.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino. Enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, by Monterey Asset Management, by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping, by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
That number is 544-5876. Call us up if you have an idea of the two trivia questions. Was... Who was the judge to preside over the Clinton Jenks trial? It was in El Paso. He was a famous judge. What affidavit did Clinton Jenks sign? That's the other question. $20 in the balance on either question. One is for Pepe's and one is for Mission Del Rey. I was out there this week. Oh, it's amazing stuff in there. And I think they're going to make it even bigger. We'll see if they pull that off. It's amazing how big it is already. But I want to let you know that you need to hit the like button on Facebook. Our Facebook page is El Paso History Radio Show. We had almost 6,000 people when I walked out this morning, And there were, it was missing two people. So maybe by now the other two clicked in. I can't see the page right now. But on the other hand, let you know the first 14 segments of our ABC 7 TV series. It's called El Paso History TV. They're now online. I'll put the other two on as soon as I can get to them, maybe today. But they're at youtube.com/El Paso History TV. And guess who is the main guy you see when you click in there?
Who?
Bernie.
Oh, him.
Oh, you know him. Bernie Sargent. He is our reporter on that stuff. And so in October at 6 and 10 p.m. on ABC 7, we ran Bernie Sargent doing reports on Loretto Academy, Trost Architecture, Chamizal, and Fort Bliss. We sort of mixed it up there all over history, all over the place. But you can get a look at that. Subscribe to it. It's a free channel. Subscribe there, El Paso History TV. And just to let you know, there's archery going on today until 1 o'clock at the gazebo in the Museum of Archaeology. I suggest you approach the gazebo carefully. They're shooting arrows.
There's a lot of arrows on top of that gazebo.
So go for it. Just to let you know, EPAS has a new newsletter. This is great stuff. They're talking about a November 16th lecture by Dr. Mark Calamia. He's going to be talking about a Pipestone National Monuments find that they have. And he's a PhD. He knows stuff. He works at Chamizal. But the EPAS crowd, they have a newsletter. And on the inside, they take on archaeology across the planet. They're talking about humans and Neanderthals in Europe. A 210,000-year-old skull was found. What do you think about that?
A lot of things.
That's a big headache.
What are you, Facebook, you have over 7,000 likes on our guests today.
It's over seven.
Show. Yeah, wow. 7,054.
Okay, that means Ray Caballero should sell at least three books.
At least two books.
Maybe
two
four.
Probably a lot more than that.
But you never know.
Well, hopefully it'll help.
But what else you got?
Okay, we got Celebrate Dia de los Muertos at a Concordia Cemetery, and that's going to be today from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m., and it's a great event out there at Concordia Cemetery, and the funds do help to take care of the cemetery, and they can have live entertainment, stilt walkers, 10-foot tall Mohiganda skeletons will be roaming the cemetery to thrill young and old, and admission costs only $5, and kiddos under 6 are free.
Those guys are really on stilts, aren't they?
Well, there's some that are going to be on stilts. I wouldn't be walking around with all those rocks and everything. Oh. But it's going to be a great event. There'll be some of the graves will be dressed, because some of the parents, the family members are out there cleaning their graves for the families that they're buried there, and there's going to be entertainment, food, and vendors, all kinds of neat things. I'll be out there probably laying down somewhere dead.
Dig a shallow grave.
A shallow grave. Yeah, just kick the dirt over me. And like I said, the proceeds go to benefit the maintenance and restoration protection of the Concordia Cemetery. So head on out there today. And then the Museums and Cultural Affairs Department will celebrate Dia de los Muertos Saturday today from 2 to 9 p.m. with performances and hand-on activities and special market and parades starting at 4 p.m. And this celebration is dedicated to the memory of those who have passed, especially the victims of August 3rd. And then the El Paso Museum of Art and History will also host their free hands-on activities. Is that duplication?
It may be.
That's a duplication. Never
mind. Well, then
just
do it twice.
Same thing. Well, yes.
Well, but it's today at the museum or today at Concordia.
That's what we just talked about. Yeah, at Concordia.
So. And so both places have big events going on. And if you're new to El Paso or new to the subject,
come on out and
check
celebrate.
It out.
Yes, yes. But Concordia is the only one that's in a grave anywhere, cemetery in Texas. So come on out.
Interesting places here. All right. We, 544-5876. $20 and $20 in the balance on coupons.
And I'm going to take them.
Well, you may.
I got to go Christmas shopping.
Well, you just should, because Mission Del Rey is an incredible place. Get out there. And also, the Pepe's food today is amazing. All right, let's talk to Ray Caballero again for a minuto here. Ray, we've got about a short segment here, but I wanted to ask you in the meantime, if you don't mind, what was the Empire Zinc strike actually about?
Well, what happened was that, first of all, the Empire Zinc Company was adamant about trying to put the union out of business.
Oh.
And then the strike, almost all the strikers were Mexicanos, and they had serious issues about discrimination, and they were adamant also on standing up for their rights and fighting the discrimination they found at the mine. And so, of course, that two sides came to loggerheads, and neither one would give in, and that's what caused the 15-month labor dispute.
Was this a bit unusual to have Mexican Americans in a union fighting the company as a group?
Well, not there, okay, because there the mine mill union became almost all Mexican, because the Anglos were members of the craft unions, and Mexicans were not, and blacks were not allowed to join the craft unions like the plumbers, the carpenters, and all of those folks. there was an enormous amount of discrimination in labor unions.
Okay,
even.
That's what I was wondering now, because this sounded a little odd, and now you've filled in the piece there.
Yeah, so the industrial unions, those unions that organize throughout a company, no matter what your skill is, or if you have no skill, like the auto workers or the steel workers, those are industrial unions, and though the mine mill union in that part of the world became largely Mexican American, and that's what really this impasse that they had between the company and the labor union. But let me just interject here for a second, if I can,
sure,
and tell you how wonderful it is to have your program. You know, you grow up in El Paso, and you take El Paso's history for granted. Folks, let me tell you, El Paso is a rich repository of history.
Oh, yeah.
We have the indigenous history, the colonial history of Mexico, the borderlands history, the Mexican Revolution. You know, there's so many labor history.
Indians.
El Paso is so rich in history, much more so than almost every city around it. Juarez, of course, is also, it's really the old history in the El Paso area.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you very much for having that program and bringing some of these histories to the footstep, to El Paso.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. We work here, we're basically volunteers on the air here. And as it goes, I think it's a good idea to explain to this city how it got to be what it is. And you got to realize that it's not taught in the public schools here at all. El Paso history is a footnote at best. And I'll give you my example. I learned about San Jacinto Plaza, and therefore, we had a battle. Oh, that was over in Texas, and that's why we got the name there. Okay. And then what else? Oh, we're out of time. Sorry. We can't tell you anymore. And that was the end of my education. I moved back to El Paso. I went to D.C. for decades. Came back and said, okay, what happened here? I was not aware that those three white Catholic churches down the valley were of any particular significance, but that's a major event called El Paso's Mission Trail on the Camino Real, sure. Yada, yada. So, yeah, you're right. We do what we can here, and thank you for noticing. So, we're going to keep it up. Well, we got to take a break here, come back and talk further. And we want to hear a little more about The Salt of the Earth. That's the film made out of this. And we're talking about a book by Ray Caballero, former mayor, and I bet you're glad that's in your past. Okay, I want to hear that book.
That'd be an interesting one.
Next time. All right, taking a break here in the meantime, putting Ray on hold. Don't go anywhere. And in the meantime, we're going to have a conversation with somebody on a commercial. What is that all about? 544, call us up.
5876 or 544-KTSM.
Haul packages for a living? A gas-powered Mercedes-Benz Sprinter delivers. Transport people? A Sprinter van with 0% financing is a 5-star idea. If food delivery is your thing, then a gas Sprinter caters to you. And if you're a general contractor, the Sprinter with 0% financing nails it. With innovation, safety, and technology, Sprinter is built for you. And it's built for your bottom line with 0% financing. The Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, starting at just $33,790. And for a limited time with IRS Section 179, you could be eligible for up to a $25,000 tax deduction. Gas engine, 0% financing, and a possible tax deduction? Now that's a Sprinter that delivers. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
MSRP excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation, charge, and dealer prep fee. Options, model availability, and actual dealer price may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Only valid on 2018 or 2019 Mercedes-Benz Sprinter vans, excluding cab chassis. Qualified commercial customers only. Financing offer valid through January 2nd, 2020. Consult your tax advisor. For more information, limits may apply. Visit mbvans.com.
What would you do if you won the lottery? Powerball and Mega Millions jackpots are hot. And you can't win if you don't play. But who wants to wait in line for a ticket? At Lottery.com, you can skip the line and play your favorite lottery games right from your phone. Never lose a ticket and never miss a jackpot. The Lottery.com app is free, and you can cash out your winnings anytime. In just 2 taps, you could win the next multi-million dollar jackpot. Search for Lottery.com in the App Store or go to Lottery.com to learn more. Now sit back, relax, and play, and get some time back in your day. That's what we call winning together. This message was brought to you by Lottery.com. Please play responsibly.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we've been talking with Ray Caballero. We'll get back to him in just a second. It's an interesting book, and it's about a trial that happened in El Paso in 1954 that kind of set a whole lot of precedents, although they sort of kept them hidden. We'll hear more about that, and they made a movie out of it. Goodness gracious. And the name of the book is McCarthyism versus Clinton Jinx. And by the way, second hour, we have a young fella coming in named Bill Moody. And
yeah,
he's going to come
man.
In and tell us about the guy who was the judge mm-hmm. in this case. But we need to tell you a couple history lessons here. Here they come real quick. Rio Grande Chapter, Daughters of the Republic of Texas, meeting Friday, November the 8th. Greenery in Sunland Park, 11 a.m. That's a food thing. Bring some money. Harvey Girls of El Paso, presented by Press Deer Cup. And it's all kinds of things she's going to be doing out there. But call up for information, 760-5775. Harvey Girls of El Paso, meeting Monday, November the 11th. Union Passenger Station Depot, and that one is going to be at 2 p.m., no food involved. Fred Harvey, Legacy Continues, and get information down there, 591-2326. And you got something going
on
there.
I've got the Southwest Chapter of the Railway and Locomotive Historical Society will meet Wednesday, November 13th at the El Sarape Restaurant over there at 5103 Montana at 6 p.m. Their program is Mexico's Railways. Train enthusiasts encouraged to attend. And for more information, give them a call at 591-2326. The El Paso, El Paso Corral of the Westerners International number 26 will meet Friday, November 15th at the Holiday Inn. And that's at El Paso West I-10 at 900 Sunland Park Drive. And their program will be The Adventures of the Blue Whistler and the McGinty Cannon, which is the McGinty and the McGinty Cannon. I forgot those are two separate ones.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, I know. Presented by Ira Smith. And the dinner and program will cost $30 or $20. And the visitors are welcome and must RSVP by November 11th, and they can call 759-9538. And that's an interesting, the story on those cannons.
Well, it's a lot of history, and there's a lot of people now talking about stuff in their own little way. Some people like the Harvey Girls. They get excited about that, and they do all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then the other people are out there. I mean, what is this stuff? We've got stuff going on everywhere. This would be the Daughters of the Republic of Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Very historic.
Neat people.
All right, got to get back into Ray Caballero. What's going on there, Ray? The thing about, we mentioned briefly that there was a movie made while the strike was going on, and the movie was Salt of the Earth. That was kind of unusual.
Yes, you know, it was unusual. The filmmakers that I told you about, the director was Herbert Biberman. He was one of the famous Hollywood Ten. These 10 filmmakers who were found in contempt in a big hearing before the House Un-American Activities Committee of Hollywood figures. And he was out of work, and so he and some others who were later also blacklisted in Hollywood decided to make this movie starting in 1953. And that movie, by the way, you can add to your selection, your wonderful selection of YouTube videos, because you can get it for free on YouTube. For some reason, they let the copyright expire. Someone did. And that movie is you can obtain for free on YouTube, and you can add it to the repertoire that you already have. But anyway, that movie became very famous. It too was blacklisted. The establishment made it so difficult for them to film and then to process the film, add music, every step that you can normally take, have to normally take, to make a movie, the technical side of it, they made it almost impossible. So, and it was hardly, I think only 100,000 people way back then saw it. It only played in 11 theaters for a few days in New York, in the West Coast, and it became quite, an event for it, a movie. You think you had the First Amendment? Not back in those days.
Oh, my.
You know, it's really a sad thing. And that's why the McCarthy era, the Red Scare of the McCarthy era, got such a bad name, because people who were acting completely legally within the bounds of law and the Constitution were not allowed to express their thoughts or to express themselves artistically in a movie or to document something. It was just terrible.
Well, you know, the Jinx trial itself, apparently, from what you were telling me, the Grant County Anglo crowd did not like what was going on whatsoever. They thought it was inciting the Mexicans, as they called them, against the company.
Yes. That the company also made it very difficult for the filmmakers, and then for the later on for the distribution of the film. They got very important people like Howard Hughes, Hollywood figures, and they just went after this movie. You might remember, there are a couple of people who played in this movie that your listeners might remember. There's a guy by the name of Will Gear played the role of the sheriff. Will Gear is the guy who played Grandpa on The Waltons.
Yeah, yeah. And the stars keep on coming.
There you go. And so there were a couple of other that are very famous movie actress from Mexico, Rosaura Revueltas, came from an incredibly important artistic family in Mexico. She was deported during that movie, even though she had papers to work here.
Oh,
and
boy.
By the way, what a coincidence. You just mentioned Mark Calamia over there at UTEP.
Right.
Well, Mark's father, Joseph A. Calamia, the very famous, well-known, highly respected criminal lawyer, and he represented Matuso that I've mentioned to you before, this witness against Jenks, and he also helped represent this deported actress.
It is a small world. It's amazing to see how all that's interconnected. We have a caller here. You want to take a caller for a minute here? Hold on, Ray. We got a caller coming up. And who do we have here, Shelley? We have on the phone here Raul. Raul, good morning.
Good morning. Great show.
Thank you.
Guest. Is it possible to ask Mayor Caballero a question?
Sure, go ahead.
Mayor Caballero, Raul Amaya, how you been, buddy?
Hey, Raul, how are you doing? Good to talk to you.
What's up, Raul? What happened to Raul?
Can you hear me?
Raul's light. Raul, are you there? Oh, Raul. I didn't punch any more buttons.
Uh-oh.
What happened to Raul? Nobody punched any buttons, Raul.
It was a communist.
Maybe he just wanted to know how you were doing, and that was it. Well, thanks for calling.
Say good morning.
It was the FBI, one of the two.
Shelley, tell me what to do about that guy there. We're not sure. Well, Raul, if you're there. It went to dial tone. Sorry about that. Well, the thing is, though, Ray, hang on, let me punch a few more buttons here. The history that you're talking about here turned into something called the Jinx Act. When did that happen?
Right after within 3 months after the Supreme Court decision came out in June of 1957, the FBI was so horrified, thinking that they were putting out that this decision would allow people to go rummage around FBI files, which it did not. It was just kind of a desperate act on their part. But the Congress passed the Jenks Act, modifying the Jenks decision only in one small bit. In other words, the government didn't turn the statements over, the Supreme Court decision said that the court could dismiss the charges, and the statute changed that and said that other sanctions but not dismissal could be applied. But it is writ in stone. The Jenks Act and the Jenks case are now the law, not only in federal courts, but in administrative proceedings and in every state of the union. Now it's taken so much for granted that a good prosecutor friend of mine over there in state court, Judge Moody, will also be able to tell you, defendants receive Jenks Act statements, the witness statements, even long before the trial even starts nowadays. This is all stuff that is today taken so much for granted. And by the way, before I forget, please tell my good friend, Judge Bill Moody, hello for me.
Will do.
He is a great lover of history, no question about it.
Oh, indeed. And so when you said that the main judge on this was Thomason, I got to thinking, well, let's take an hour with Bill Moody and take apart and put back together that man's career, because he was all over the board. I mean, he was a legend. We'll get to that next hour. But back to the Jinks trial, the big deal was it set a precedent for all trials.
Yes, all criminal cases. Now it's also applied in administrative proceedings and so forth. So that Jenks case is the most important case, no question about it, giving defendants the right to see the evidence against them.
Okay, that happened in El Paso, and that was under Thomason, and you have now written the book about this. Has there been no, is this like the first major book about this, or how's that look?
This is the funniest thing. That's what happened. I started studying Jenks, and I realized that no one has ever written about the trial.
Oh.
It's mentioned. There are some books on Salt of the Earth. There is a very fine biography about Clinton Jenks, but those books only mention that he was indicted and he was tried. They mention the Supreme Court case. That's it. Oh. No one really talks about. And more importantly, no one talks certainly about the FBI records, what they show on Clinton Jenks, which are very interesting. And so, yes, part of that has been written about, but this trial, that was my reason for getting involved. And we had, you know, to document the most important case in El Paso's legal history, no question about it.
It's a biggie. Oh, it's a real biggie. What should the readers take away from your book? Basically, the understanding that this set precedents? It was in El Paso, well, Mexican-American issues, what?
The broad takeaway from this is not to be taken in by purveyors of fear. Fear-mongering is what got McCarthyism going. When you get fear-mongering, not long after that, you get hatred. You get people start fearing, for example, immigrants. They start fearing these people. They don't know why, but they do. And then they start hating them. And then once you start hating somebody, you can propose the most drastic, terrible things, even though they have not acted illegally. For example, 3 days after Clinton Jenks was convicted in 1954, there's a big old headline in the El Paso Times saying that Governor Shivers, the governor at the time of Texas, proposed the death penalty for communists, even though it was perfectly legal to join the Communist Party.
Wow.
This, as a political ploy, he wasn't really serious about it. It was really a lie. But he put that out there, trying to show his anti-communist credentials, saying that these communists should be put to death. Can you imagine? That's how ridiculous it got.
Look, that's pretty
even
bizarre.
Though people had not committed a crime. Anyway, that's part of that history. And there are many books on McCarthyism, and this will be on the shelf up there with them.
Well, yeah, but this will also be specific about this trial and how it set the precedent for other trials. That's what amazes me the most. Going back to that point that it gives defendants evidentiary discovery, that's your legal term. In other words, the prosecution has a lot of stuff. The defense gets it before the trial. That's the new point out of this whole thing.
Yes. They get the witness statements now, and that I cannot, having tried a lot of criminal cases myself, both as a prosecutor and a defense lawyer, I can tell you cannot overstate the importance of that decision. It's a mammoth decision.
You know what I may do? We're going to take a break slightly early. I'm going to go find Bill Moody. He's in the hallway here, somebody. And we're going to ask him to come in for the last segment and maybe have a chat with you about this thing. How's that sound?
I'd love to talk to him.
All right, we'll be back in a second taking a break here. Melissa, what would be the phone number if they need to call us?
915-544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino, enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
It's your friend Sean Hannity here. You know, investing in real estate around this great country is something that I take very seriously. Now, I can tell you there are a lot of agents or national companies. They look good on paper or make big incentives or may even offer to work for less money. But one thing I've learned over the years is details in real estate mean serious dollars. Now, I have seen firsthand the importance of working with and trusting the advice of an agent who truly has their hand on the pulse of the local market and have proven track records of making sellers money in that city through good markets and challenging markets. There's only one agent I trust, and I'm talking about Brian Birds of Century 21 Hagerty. Look, the only thing more expensive than hiring an expert is hiring an amateur. Don't trust your home to just anyone. Now, I've done the homework. Talk to the agent that I trust for the best advice in El Paso. Call Brian Birds right now at 751-1500 or online at brianbirds.com. That's Brian Birds, B-U-R-D-S.com.
Indeed, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, by Monterey Asset Management, by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping, by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563, and by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We got the judge in here. We'll talk to him in just a second. And we got Ray still on hold here. We'll let you know a couple of things. The partnership with the National Endowment for Humanities and El Paso Museum of History and the El Paso Museum of Cultural and Affairs and the Community College. What a crowd they all got together.
Busy.
They're hosting two engaging public programs about the lives of Mormon settlers in Colonia Juarez, Mexico, and El Paso, Texas. And the program will feature a brief history of the Mormon colonies in Mexico. And this is all happening on November the 5th at 11:30 a.m. at the El Paso Community College Val Verde campus. Get a hold of them for more details about that. What do you got?
The Sunset Film Society at the International Museum of Art is showing their films today. And the special ones they've got today is, is The Thriller. And it's Thriller and Alfred Hitchcock Hour. And this is going to be at 2 p.m. at the museum. And it's free. And head on over there because it's a great event. You can buy popcorn, treats, and everything else they're going to have going on. So get on over there. It's at, it's right there at Brown Street and Montana.
Montana. All right. Back into the discussion here. We got Ray Caballero on the phone. Good afternoon, good morning, whatever it is in Oregon. It must be morning.
Yeah. Morning.
Morning. And also, Sergio, we got a new participant in the studio here, and this is Judge Bill Moody. Good morning.
Well, good morning.
Hi. Hey, Judge, how are you doing?
Very good, Ray. It's been a long time.
There he is. Okay.
I thought since Bill got here a little early for the second hour, I thought I'd get his opinion on some of this stuff, because I'm looking at this as a layman. I didn't really understand this history, and both of you guys no doubt know it. Because you've lived it, some of it.
Well, you know, Ray and I have gone through the process of discovery and how it has developed. And, you know, Ray is a great champion for defendants' rights when he did tremendous criminal work and in legal work that I've watched him do over the years.
But the Jinx trial set the bar, basically.
Well, it started opening the doors, really.
That's
opened
what it
the
did.
Doors.
That's what
and,
it did.
And, of course, Ray has written a great book. I want to read the book. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. I'm hoping to get an autographed copy soon, Ray.
Oh, there you go.
So,
what's your website, Ray?
I'll even pay for it.
Ray, what's your website? Can we buy a book there?
Ray, you can read about it, RaymondCaballero.com, and you can buy the book anywhere, really. Order it anywhere, I should say, online.
Amazon, yeah. And then you'll have to find him to get it signed, okay?
UTIP, Barnes & Noble, you name
right.
it. Yeah.
Well, next time you're in town and you're going to do a book signing, Ray, let us know. We'll put that out here.
Okay. You know, but Judge Thomason is maybe the most important political figure in El Paso's history. He was a representative. He became the only speaker, the only statewide official El Paso has ever had. He was the mayor. He was a longtime congressman and a federal judge, and he was stellar in all of those positions.
Oh, yeah. He was a what you would call a major league player. El Paso hasn't produced a whole lot of major league talented players over our years. I mean, we've had very talented people, but they haven't had a presence on the national scene.
Or state scene, actually.
And even some degree on the state scene. But Thomason was a huge figure, cast a huge shadow, even at the national level.
So how big an influence was he about this trial? What got to say about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, he was the one that tried the case, you know, and he set in motion, you know, all of this appellate work that ends up, you know, that Ray writes about here and he's talked about so far.
But in this case, you know, Judge Thomason, in general, was a very decent and a very fine judge, but he's also human.
He was.
This case brings out his human side because, you know, humans, the hallmark of humans, that we make a lot of errors. And so Judge Thomas didn't make a lot of them, but Jenks was one of them. His instructions turned out not to be correct. And then withholding those witness statements turned out to be reversible error. And so the problem with Thomason is that normally he would be a very fine judge, but he just could not set aside that this was a communist in front of him. Now, Judge Moody, he will tell you that, you know, that they don't necessarily, the people who come before them as defendants, you know, they're murderers and thieves and child abusers, all kinds of people. And what you do is you have to accord, set aside whatever feelings you have and accord to the accused a fair trial. And unfortunately, in this instance, Judge Thomason was not able to do that. And then the way he used, the method he used to select juries was quite unfair. And so Jenks had no chance of receiving a fair trial.
We got to take our last break. Actually, this segment's done. We thank you for coming on the phone here from Oregon.
Yes, thank you so
And next
much.
Time you're in town, let us know when you're in town and signing books.
Well, thank you very much.
We'll talk at you again. And next hour, we're going to come back here and talk about Judge Thomason. Ray, again, thanks for calling in. We'll talk at you again in the future. Appreciate it.
And I put on our Facebook page where you can find his books on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
And UTEP Bookstore. See you next hour. Coming back with our own judge here, Judge Moody. See you then.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for archived copies of this radio show. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690, KTSM, El Paso.
Buttons, they make things a lot easier. Crossing a busy street,
hey, watch it, buddy.
A button helps you live to tell about it. Opening your garage, easy, thanks to a button. Now, if you have sleep apnea and couldn't sleep with a CPAP, relief and a good night's sleep is now just a click of a button away. It's called Inspire. Inspire is a sleep apnea treatment that works inside the body with one click of a remote. That's right, just a button. Inspire is a small device implanted in a same-day outpatient procedure. Simply click the button on the Inspire remote before you fall asleep. As you sleep, Inspire keeps you breathing normally and sleeping peacefully. No mask, no hose, just sleep. If you're struggling with CPAP, great sleep awaits at inspiresleep.com. That's inspiresleep.com. Inspire. Sleep apnea innovation. No mask, no hose, just sleep.
Talk to your doctor to see if Inspire is right for you and review important safety information at inspiresleep.com.
KTSM AM El Paso is News Radio 690.
NBC News Radio, I'm John Jeffries. The fast-moving brush fire that broke out in Ventura County in Southern California Halloween night is growing and is still 0% contained. The Maria fire has now blackened more than 10,000 acres and destroyed at least three homes. Nearly 11,000 residents have been forced to flee and some 2,700 structures are being threatened. Fire officials say they are hoping to catch a break today as gusty Santa Ana winds die down. President Trump is bashing former presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke. The Texas Democrat dropped out of the 2020 race Friday, and the president was quick to take shots at him.
And he said that he was born for it, like he was born from heaven. He came down. And if that's the case, some really bad things happened because he made a total fool out of himself.
Trump told a cheering crowd at a Mississippi rally last night that hopefully they won't be hearing from Beto O'Rourke for a long time. Trump said O'Rourke quit like a dog and criticized him for being against guns and oil. A teenager is being charged in the shooting of a 7-year-old girl who was trick-or-treating in Chicago. NBC5 in Chicago says the girl was shot in the neck on Halloween night and remains in critical condition. Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson said the shooter was wearing a Jason Friday the 13th mask, and gang activity is suspected to be behind the shooting. The teenage suspect has been charged with 2 felony counts of aggravated battery and discharge of a firearm. The Washington Nationals...